You'll notice in the little outline, it's the same outline that we had last week. Because last week I only got halfway through. Looking at this incredible picture or metaphor that Paul was inspired to use, the body, the human body as a picture of who we are as a group of Christians and how we are to function, how we are to breathe, how we are to move together, how we are to work together to serve the Lord in our lifetime. And that's our desire, isn't it? We've only got this one lifetime and we want to, we've been saved to serve, and that's our wiring now as Christians. So we started off by looking in those early verses that the picture that's given to us here is that the church as a body of people is a gifted body. And we talked about gifts, and that they are gifts. They are given, not because we deserve them, not because we've earned them, not so we can parade them, not so we can bash others over the head with them or whatever. They are gifts given for the benefit of everybody else in the body. And we saw in then verses 4 to 11 that there's an incredible diversity within the body of Christ. Perhaps infinite diversity if we think of creation. A couple of months ago, we've got this lovely Manchurian pear tree in our front yard. And it's growing up, beautiful shape and whatever. But next doors, I've got this huge tree on their side of the fence. And this Manchurian pear is going up until it's just starting to reach the bottom branches of this big tree that's next door. And I was standing out in the front yard looking at this one a little while ago. And I was seeing how our tree now sort of can't, you know, it's sort of reaching its limit and it's starting to get a little bit misshapen. And I was standing there hating that tree, the next door tree, and thinking evil thoughts about my neighbour. And I was just standing there and sort of growling about all this inside of me. Joy came out and she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I hate that tree." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Well, look at it. You know, there's our tree's going, yeah, and that tree." I said, I might drill a hole in it and put some poison in it or something so it'll die. And Joy kind of looked at me and she said, "I'll go inside and make a cup of tea, you know. You can." I'll come out when our grumpy bum's gone somewhere else or whatever. I looked back at the tree and it was just as if God opened my eyes to see a completely different picture, because on the branches that were the ones in question, I suddenly realised there was a whole lot of birds. And it was a real busy time on the tree, and suddenly I was hearing things that I didn't think I'd heard before. All these birds, different kinds of birds, and on one branch there were three different sorts of brands of bird, or whatever you call it. And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing, you know. And here they were, all trying to get the pollen out of the things, and they were chattering away and all kind of getting on with one another. And it changed my whole view about that tree. I went inside, got out our bird book that we've inherited from our grandparents, and a big thick book, and I couldn't believe how many different sorts of birds. And I can't remember them now, but the three that I saw on the branch, I identified them, but it was difficult because there are so many different kinds of the same brand of bird, you know. There were pages and pages and pages of these things. And just made me realise that, you know, there's a lot bigger picture going on. And as I thought about the body of Christ and this diversity that's there, it just made me think, wow, do we really experience that? Do we really benefit that? Do we, you know, we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all unique. We're all different. We don't, and that's beautiful. It's wonderful. We don't have to be the same as each other. Wouldn't that be ghastly? And it's finding who we are. It's finding who we are, the we that God is making us into. And that me and that you isn't going to be like anybody else. It's going to be Christ-like as we get older in character, increasingly, but it's going to be unique, or we're going to be unique. And this is the same with the gifts, how we exercise those gifts with this other point. And so that second point there, is really important, that there is diversity yet not division within the body of Christ. Those two things don't have to go together, but sometimes they do. Let's go on, though, in those next few verses. Verses 12 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So what that teaches us is that the body of Christ is an organism. It's not an organization. This is talking about a living organism, a living group of people who are joined together, enmeshed together through the Holy Spirit. And though this body is organized or has some organization amongst it, it's not an organization. And there's a huge difference between an organism and an organization. In the same sense, there's a huge difference between a fruit tree and a tinsel Christmas tree that's got things hanging on it that someone's hung on them, and a fruit tree that is growing and just miraculously produces these things. One's an organism, one's alive, and the other's not. And we have become Christians now. So things like whether we're Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we could expand that into Galatians 3, which says the same thing, but talks about how we are one in Christ Jesus, no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. So there's this new bond that we have, this new identity that we have, that we're part of the body of Christ. The things that divide people in the world do not divide us as Christians. The things that people find are the limits of their own identity, and therefore the roles that they often have within society, do not limit us within the body of Christ and the roles that we have. For when we enter into the body of Christ, we could think of it physically as we enter into this church, but it's bad to think of that because the church is not the building. It's not even what we do here on Sunday morning. It's part of what we do, but we are the church. But if we were to think of it that way, as we walk through that door, we might be a professor, we might be a street sweeper, we might be whoever we might be. We walk in that door, as we look at one another now, we identify and we relate to one another, not as this or that or that or that, but as brother and sister, with an absolute, utter, total, complete equality between us all. And that is true of no matter where we might go within the world. Part of the body of Christ is this incredible union that we have through Christ. And it's because we are now spiritually alive through the Spirit that we are an organism as a body in a completely different kind of a way. If we lose this distinction between an organism and an organization, then we'll get into all kinds of trouble. A church that focuses on organization, a church that sees itself as an organization, and sometimes this can be quite subconscious, focuses on all the wrong things. It becomes mechanized. When that happens, things like efficiency becomes more important than edification. Things like roles and rules become more important than relationships within that body. And in the process of all of that, people get hurt. If we focus on organization and forget the organic nature that we have together, then we will grieve the Holy Spirit, as it says in Ephesians. And if we keep on grieving the Holy Spirit, we will run the risk of, as it says in Thessalonians, quench the Spirit and put the fire out. So, humanly we can organize things, but only God can bring about this organism, organic growth that's here. And that's why we can only become part of the organism of the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit, because it's only as we come alive in Him. But we can only function as part of the body of Christ, as part of that organism, as we allow the Holy Spirit to flow, as we allow the Holy Spirit to flow through. Those of you that need glasses didn't see that I did that, did you? So, we're looking here at the body of Christ as an organism, not as an organization. The leaders of this organism are shepherds, not managers, not CEOs. People need nurture. They don't need being managed. People in the body of Christ need to grow. So people in the body of Christ need time. So it's a completely different way of functioning to the way possibly some of us have to function during the week in our working places outside of that. The pastor is in his study, not in his office. The Bible is open, not the laptop. People are not assets. They're not, they're brothers and they're sisters in the Lord together. And we need to think about that term organism, and there's just a natural flow out from that in terms of then what flows from that. As I said, that's not to say that there's not, that this organism's not organized, because if we read on in those next verses, it's tremendously organized in one sense, but it's an organism that is organized, not an organization. 14 through to 26 is this whole chunk, beautiful picture of how the members of the body of Christ are interdependent on one another, not independent of one another. Each and every individual within the body of Christ. You know, what does verse 18 say? God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. And if we are marveling at how on earth did that person over there get in the body of Christ? You know, like in the old days, we used to say, you know, one finger's that way and three fingers are pointing back at us, thinking, well, how on earth did we get in the body of Christ? God chose it. He did it. And it's beautiful because He did it. Each and every individual is a vital member of this body of Christ. And their presence makes a difference within the body. Verse 15, if the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body, would it? And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Obviously, you know, Paul is addressing here this danger that we can have on the one hand of comparing ourselves to others. You know, I'm just a foot. And the foot says, you know, because I'm not a hand, oh, I wished I was a hand. But because I'm not a hand, therefore, I'm not a part of the body. I'm not really, I mean, you know, it's a silly, well, it's not silly, it's an obvious kind of a ridiculous thing for the human body to be saying that. But this is one of the difficulties within the body of Christ. On the first hand, we have a difficulty because we compare ourselves to others and we envy others. If the whole body, verse 17, goes on to say we're an eye, well, that'd be dreadful, wouldn't it? Where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Years and years and years ago, when God was trying to stop me from running away from home and running away from Him, He knocked me down after a drive-in movie one night, and I was in unconscious in hospital for 2 weeks. And my parents were very worried. I wasn't, because I was asleep during the time. But when I came out, I played it all down, no dramas. But it was a very serious time, apparently, for everybody else. The only side effect, except the obvious one, is that I can't smell. And some years after that, I was living with an old lady in Melbourne who couldn't get her gas hot water system going. And the pilot light was out, and she's down there on her hands and knees, struggling away underneath, turning this, turning that, and everything else. I was in my study. She finally calls out to me, so I come out, okay, I'll do it. And I climb down on my knees, can stick my head right in under there, you know, turn the thing on, light the match, and woof! Everything, all this gas that had just been going on and off out there, she's turning everything on and off, just blew up. And I had a beard, and it all just blew, it just disintegrated almost, or melted. My eyebrows disappeared. My hair went, well, some of it, that was... locked, and I had to flip them open all the time. Very weird. The trouble was, I was a body that didn't have a nose, or a nose that couldn't smell. I couldn't smell the gas. I can't smell gas to this day. I can't smell ammonia. I can't smell perfume. I can't smell a whole lot of things. And often it doesn't matter, but often it does. You know, I couldn't smell the nappies. Hey, that's a pretty good thing, but I could still see, so that was a problem. But don't compare, Paul says. If you're a foot, be a foot. God's chosen you to be a foot. Don't look at the hand and envy the hand. But then he goes on even more. The opposite problem of that in verse 21 is where he says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. So this is on the other side of that. The opposite problem. I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. So this is this competing. The other was comparison. That's a danger in the body of Christ. This one is competing, where some, in pride and vanity, think they are more important than other people within the body of Christ. On the one side, people are saying, I'm not as good as those other people. And then these other people on the other side are saying, I'm better than those other people. Both of them are wrong. And that's how cliques form. And you know, cliquiness is one of the great curses of any organization. It's more than a curse when it comes to an organism. When you think about it. In an organization, it's bad enough. When you've just got people physically who... some think they're better than others, and others think, wish that they were like those other ones. But when you actually take that and make it a living thing, like the body of Christ is, it's worse than a curse. It's a disease. And it kills. So, cliquiness, elitism, finding that we're in the in-group, and acting of others that are in the out-group, or discovering that you are actually in the out-group, not in the in-group, is so destructive. And that, again, is a recipe for grieving the Spirit of God. And we wonder why more people are not being transformed in our society when we don't take these things seriously within the body of Christ. God's intentions in the middle of those two opposites, verses 15 and 16 and then verse 21 on, is verses 17 to 20, which is God's intention. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God's arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. As it is, there are many members, yet one body. That's his intention, that there is this mutual interdependence on one another. Not independence, but interdependence. And not just dependence either. It's mutual interdependence. And so variety that we have is not to cause division, but it can, if we allow vanity on the one hand or envy on the other hand to come in. The thing is, every morning when we get up, the first thing we do as Christians is pause and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. Whether we do it, ceremonially, if you like, on the side of the bed and just offer ourselves and all the parts of ourselves to Him, or if we just get up with that realization that, Lord, today I can only live as You live in me. Here I am, fill me. We don't have to be standing there like that, but that's our posture, isn't it? That's how we live our whole day. And we leak, and so we have to keep on allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, control us, empower us. And as we're doing that, the fruit of the Spirit grows in our life. And as the fruit of the Spirit grows in our life, we treat one another as brothers and sisters. As the fruit of the Spirit grows in our life, we deal with vanity. We deal with arrogance and pride. We deal with envy and comparisons and all of those sorts of things. They are things that we battle with, but we deal with them because the Holy Spirit's there. God's intention is this interdependence, this mutual interdependence, which is built on a mutual respect, which if you then look at verse 25, this is God's intention, that there be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Okay, so it's mutual respect which leads to mutual care. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member's honoured, all rejoice together with it. So it's this intention of that flows out from being an organism, that we are interdependent on one another, not independent. And so there's a minister I know in my part of my role as minister to ministers has had some tremendous health challenges as a leader amongst his flock. He had a stroke, and it laid him aside for a long time, and here he was trying to be the minister in his church. And so I was getting alongside of him and to encourage him. But he didn't need, well, I guess he did need a lot of my encouragement. The majority of his, or the most of his encouragement that he got was from his family, his church family, the body that he was a part of, this flock. It was just amazing to see how they just rallied around him. And particularly by just allowing him to just take whatever time he needed. And when I went to see him one day, he was out, and there were some of the shepherds of the church that were there having another meeting. And so I told them who I was, and I asked how's Joe Bloggs going, and they said, oh, good. And we sat down and we had a talk, and it was just beautiful to hear these men and women talking about how it's that they just feel privileged to be able to care for the one that has cared for them so much. And the way they put it, and they talked about him and his wife, they have looked after us for so long now, we have the opportunity to love them. And that stuck in my mind, that they didn't say, they've cared for us so long now, and so now we have the opportunity to care for them, which would make sense, and that would be wonderful. But to see that their caring for their leaders was love in action, it just made me think, wow, I'd love to take those people to some other ministers I know or other leaders that I know where, they're really struggling. Here's some people who know what it means to be part of the body of Christ that's there. So, that's what God wants. No dissension within the body, but that the members, verse 25, may have the same care for one another. And then it goes on in verse 27 through to the end. Now you are the body of Christ. He said that in so many different ways, hasn't he, in chapter 12? Individually members of it, you see. So we don't lose our individuality, but we find our individuality within this interdependence that's there. And he goes on and finishes that chapter. And really calls our attention as those verses go on there to the end, that though there are many gifts, it's actually the gifts that are not important. Many gifts, but one giver. And it's gifts are important so that we can know, if you like, where we fit within the body of Christ, how we can serve the Lord, or maybe we might not even know what our gift is, but know that we've got a gift that God is using us to touch people in some way, shape or form. That's encouraging. That's wonderful. But at the end of the day, that fades into the background. It's functioning, it's happening, but the one that's really important is the giver that's there. When we allow God to use us to reveal something of himself through us to others, we're glorifying him. We looked at that a few weeks ago, didn't we? What does it mean to glorify the Lord? And we discovered that it means to allow him to glorify himself in us, which in everyday language is allowing him to reveal something of himself through us to others. Gifts are there to glorify the Lord. And look how Paul is led by the Holy Spirit to finish this chapter. And he's talking about all these different gifts that's there, but then it's almost sort of a but jumps in at verse 31, but strive for the greater gifts. Ooh, we think, what's he talking about? I will show you a still more excellent way, he says, at the end of that chapter. And tragically, we've put chapter breaks in. They were never there in the first letter that Paul wrote. The thought just goes straight on, I'll show you a still more excellent way. And then he goes on into chapter 13. And he goes on to talk about love. The Holy Spirit leads Paul to talk about the body of Christ to a point. And then at this point, he goes on to then talk about the most important thing that's to exist within us is that one of the great attributes of God, that which is the defining thing of God, that God is love. And so he then flows on to love. That's the most logical thing. The Holy Spirit is leading Paul into that way. And then once he's done all of that, he then goes back into the body of Christ and starts talking about that. That's chapter 14. There's no break in all of that. It's the same flow of thought that's there, but tucked right in there. We must always remember that whenever we're talking about chapter 12 or chapter 14, chapter 13 is right in the middle. Not just because 13 comes after 12 and before 14, but because the thought is that the love of God is the core of it, the hub of it all. It's chapter 13 that makes chapter 12 and chapter 14 possible. Remove chapter 13 out and you've lost the hub. And I've lost the hub in a sense on my bike, my back wheel. And now when I ride, because my back wheel's going over the river. And someone thought well of my wife that she was taking her grandfather for a ride the other day, I think, on the bike. That's what happens when you forget about chapter 13 when you're talking about the body of Christ. They flow straight on from that. So that's the way we think of ourselves, centered around this chapter 13. And God's desire is that his sacrificial love, this love of chapter 13, you know, it's this Greek word, you know, agape love, this self-sacrificial love, the love that we saw in pictured there in Genesis 22 when we had communion, the love that we see in Christ in every moment that he lived, the love that we see on the cross, sacrificial love. God's intent is that his own sacrificial love may penetrate all of us. And in penetrating all of us, it will then penetrate all that we are as the body of Christ and all that we do as the body of Christ. Loving Heavenly Father, obviously our prayer today is that you would do this in our hearts, in our heart as a church, corporate, and in our hearts as individuals. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.